Praise God. Shout unto the Lord. Praise God. For he is worthy of our praises. Hallelujah. Praise God this morning. Hallelujah. So God is worthy of our praises. Hallelujah. And just shout unto the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. So praise God. So as we get into this morning, we've been all year, I guess we've been talking about proclaiming and magnifying the Lord, right? That really proclaiming God in our lives and to others, right? And magnifying the Lord in every situation we're in, right? And also this quarter, we're talking about the appointed. We are the appointed of God. You are the appointed of God, right? We've been called for a purpose. So we're appointed for a strategic mission by God, right? A strategic purpose by God. So yes, all of that comes together. And you know, it's interesting because this week, I wasn't here last week. I was bringing my daughter down to Virginia to go back to college. And I wasn't here last week to hear Pastor Shelley's sermon. But I intentionally didn't listen to it again on the air. Because I didn't want to interfere with what the Lord was actually ministering to me all week and what I was to preach on this week. But then as I was going through and as I was finalizing what the Lord was giving me, I was like, well, maybe I should listen to it in case I'm repeating everything he just said last week, you know. So I listened to it, and it's amazing how the Holy Spirit does it. It's not amazing. It's awesome, really. You know, it's almost a perfect sequel to what Pastor Lee was speaking about last week. He was talking about how the sounds of the trumpet, right? And he gave us each one of the four sounds, and he was really bringing that out. And today, the Lord really put on my heart to actually bring forth the symbolism of the trumpet or of the horn in scriptures, right? And what that means to us. Not just because it's a symbol, what it means to us as Christians as we walk out our walk before the Lord, right? And so, the title today is Progressive Christianity. And before any of you get up and walk out, I'm not preaching on progressive Christianity this morning. It's because I'm not sure how many of you know, but progressive Christianity is a movement out there that is not Christian. But I just want to, that's the title that the Lord gave me. And I'll kind of go into that as we go through. But the horn of salvation, that's where we are this month. And we're talking about the horn of salvation. We know that Jesus is the horn of salvation, right? But the horn of itself, there's a reason that symbolism is given. We know that the horn in itself has no value or has no way of saving us. But the horn of salvation, as we know to be Jesus Christ. And how does that symbolism, you know, affect us, or how is it supposed to be, you know, a part of our life as we walk this out? So as we go through this, we kind of see. So I just want to start off with this, and we'll open up with a word of prayer. But, and all the horns of the wicked will be cut off, but the horns of the righteous will be lifted up, right? That's in Psalm 75:10. And here is a perfect example. This is a ram who's just been victorious, I guess, in battle, and he's raising up his horns over, you, I guess you could say, his defeated foe, right? Now, again, we know that's a symbol, and that's not supposed to be one of pride or one of haughtiness, but it is a symbol that you know, that those horns are almost like an extension of our personality, of who we are, right? And we can either have this type of raising up our horns in pride, or we can learn from the symbolism through the scriptures what the horn is meant for us, and how that horn is meant to be the actual culmination of the praises of God, which is the shofar, right? And that is the ultimate design of the horn, is as the shofar is being blown, it's being actually ushering in the presence of God before us, right? Or showing the victory of God. And this is what Pastor Shelley went through last week. And I just want to, you know, use that symbolism today to show how it is that we need to be seeking after that in our daily walk before the Lord, and how our very lives need to be that shofar, right? That not in the physical, but in the spiritual realm, how as we walk into a place, as we walk into our jobs or homes or wherever it is that we may be, that as we walk in, the shofar is blown before us, because the presence of God is being ushered in as we go in, right? Not because of us, but because we are ambassadors of Christ, right? So, and I'm just going to read this. And David spoke the words of the song to the Lord in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior, you save me from violence. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies, right? So here we see again, you know, the symbolism of the horn, right? And as you see that, there's a reason that God used that or caused that to be a continued theme throughout Scripture. And I just want to use that this morning, that same symbolism, to see how it is that we can progress through our Christianity, using that same symbolism to see how it is that we need to, you know, submit to our hearts, our lives, our walk before God. So here is in Psalm 18:2, David said, "The Lord is my rock, my shield, and the horn of my salvation." And again, so today we're asking that question, what is the horn of salvation? We look here and we've seen three different pictures right now of different horns, we say, and their uses, right? So what is the horn of salvation to each one of us? What has it been to you personally? How is it that that symbol can actually affect your walk before God? So we're going to bow our heads in prayer right now and then allow the Lord to minister to us through his word. Father God, I just thank you, Lord. I thank you for once again, Lord, just showing up in power in our presence, oh Father God. Lord, I ask that you hide me behind your cross this morning, Lord, and that you, O Holy Spirit, would use me as your vessel to just deliver your word, your desires, your heart to each one of us this morning. And even as we hear your word, even as we hear the word that has been delivered this morning, that we would be cleansed by the washing of your word here this morning. And Lord, we would be changed. We would come to know you in even a new and a fresh way. I thank you, Lord. I give you all the praise, all the honor, all the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So again, the horn of salvation. We know that the horn of salvation is Jesus, right? But what does that horn mean for each one of us? And I want to go through it, and I'm going to go through it in four different steps. And I'm just going to go through it progressively, I guess you could say. So I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship to do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. And again, you know, we have to be aware that in today's society, there's so many different messages going out there. There's so many even different versions, if you will, of Christianity being presented, right? And here, you know, the Lord gave me this word, and even as the Lord gave it to me, I was like, Lord, you really want me to preach on this? But he gave me progressive Christianity, right? And that is a teaching that's out there that's almost like once you get to Christianity, now you have to progress beyond that to really be enlightened, to be a woke Christian, if you will. And that's, you know, that's a term that's so familiar today. And it's so easy to almost start to think, well, is that really the next step for me? Is that really the next phase for me? And I want to just go through this today to show us that that's not the next step, right? But we have to be careful. That we have to be careful to do what God is calling us to do and not allow the society to temper our thoughts or our ways, right? So progressive Christianity, right? And the horn of salvation, right? Again, progressive Christianity is, and I'm going to give you a quick... Well, let me read this first. So I'm sorry. I am amazed that you are so... So this is, again, a warning, right? From Paul, right? To the Galatians. Right, saying that he's amazed that they're so quickly departing from what was being told. And we have to be very careful that as we look at the different messages that are out there and the different ways that we can be distracted, that we can fall into that trap. But how do we prevent ourselves from falling into that trap? How can we prevent ourselves from actually being led astray? The only way we can actually know if it's truly the Word of God is by knowing the Word of God, right? And we have to stay familiar with the Word of God, not because it's a Christian mandate to read the Bible, but to get to know our Father, to get to know God's instruction for our life, to get to know God's purposes for our life, right? And this is the same thing that has been said to the Galatians here, right? Because they were actually starting to hear these messages and started to doubt and started to stray, right? And Paul says, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to that which you received, he is to be accursed. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Right? So we have to be very careful. We have to be very careful. What is the media, what is our surrounding telling us about, right? And as we look at this, and the reason I'm going through this is because I believe that the Lord wanted me to speak some little bit, and this is not the message, but a little bit on this progressive Christianity. I believe that's why he gave me that word, even though it's not the actual purpose of the sermon today. But we have to be careful. If it's anything off from the Word of God, we have to flee from that. Because there is no other gospel. There is no other gospel. There is only one gospel, that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Right? It's not my gospel. It's not Paul's gospel. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as soon as we start to stray in any way from that, right, we start to introduce a different gospel. But how do we do it? We do it because we will actually end up straying if we're not willing to submit ourselves, subject ourselves to the Word of God, the will of God. And we know that by reading the Word of God and really being in fellowship and having others encourage us in the Word of God. But here is the, I guess, the tenets. There's eight different, they're small. I know it's difficult to read them. I think that was on purpose. But Lord, he doesn't really want us focusing on those tenets, if you will. But what the 8 points are saying is that once you get to the point of understanding Jesus and coming to a point of submitting to salvation, now you have to progress beyond that. And that you will start to realize that not only is Jesus your Savior, but he is the way to realizing that all ways lead to salvation. That all, you know, types of lifestyles are welcome in there. And it's really almost like a different gospel completely. And we have to be aware of that, right? But how do we protect ourselves from that by subjecting ourselves to the Word of God, right? And the reason that that's so important, right? Because as we go through the Word of God this morning, we will start to realize there's ways that we have to progress through our Christianity. And I just want to speak also to those if you have not accepted the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior this morning, this is technically a message that goes out to all believers. But if you have not accepted Jesus, please listen in and hear the Word of God this morning and allow that to actually pierce your heart and allow it to lead you through even these steps of realization that you need Jesus. You need Jesus in your life. You need Jesus, and you need then to start progressing through. Because each one of us in this room, even though we've become saved, each one of us have surrendered our heart to the Lord. There are areas in our walk. There are areas in our heart that we have not subjected fully to the Lord. And there's no one in this room, no one in this world who can sit there and say that they've subjected everything to the Lord and they no longer struggle with any area of their lives. And that's, every one of us had that struggle. And this morning, I believe that this word is an encouraging word to each one of us to show us how the Lord wants us to actually start to look at those areas, allow the Lord to reveal them to us, and then progress through them and become as the shofar of God. You know, say that would be the sound coming from us, emanating from us, that as we walk into shopper, as you walk into our jobs, as you walk into, you know, the homes of our unsaved loved ones, right? That the shofar would go before us. And that the area now would be impacted by the Holy Spirit. And the area would be ripe and ready for the actual, you know, the Word of God to penetrate the hearts and minds of those who were in those places, right? So here in Corinthians it says, "For who among men know the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thought with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he can't understand them because they are spiritually appraised." Right? So if we look at this picture, this is a good picture of how it is, the natural man is, how I was, And I'm sure you can all even look to it yourself, see how you were before we actually came to understand the Word of God. When someone would try and bring the Word of God to us, we would butt heads. We would lock horns, right? And we would and those horns were used as almost a foregoing of our own pride, if you will, right? But that's not the actual symbol that God has for that horn. That is not what the reason for the horn throughout scriptures. It's not supposed to be a thing of pride. It's supposed to be a thing where we start to understand that there is even a protection, yes, as the enemy comes against us. But it's not for us to gouge the enemy. It's for us to allow God to actually have that horn, which is the shofar, and let that be the actual sound that dispels the enemy around us, right? And again, here's another symbol of how we use our horns, right? As to do more harm than good, right? That they're not used for the purposes of God, I guess, in the hands of natural man. So again, to all those who are unsaved, I ask that you hear this, that you listen to this, and just allow the Lord to really bring this message home, and allow the Lord to start to open your eyes, open your minds, even us, to open our minds to where it is that you have not submitted those areas of your heart to God. Allow God to open your eyes, because, you know, we have, you know, segregated those special places for a reason. We don't want to subject them over to God. We don't want to do the work, if you will, or the work, what we think is the work, to actually having to get rid of them in our lives. But as we go through this, we'll see that the work isn't ours to do. That the work that we need to do is just submit them to God. So, praise God, as we go through this, we'll see that God's desire is that we will understand His mercy and His grace, right? So blow a trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. Surely it is near. That's in Joel 2:1. And that is a call to each and every one of us. So as we're talking about symbolisms here, this horn here is symbolizing how it is that God wants us to hear that trumpet in our lives. He is trying to get our attention. He's trying to actually call us this morning to stop and realize there are areas in our lives that He desires to work on, that He desires to expose even to us. Right? So that we would walk in perfect unity with Him. That we would walk in perfect submission to Him. But we have to be able to hear and understand, and that the Lord, that the Holy Spirit start to show and bring these areas to the surface and allow us to see those areas where we still need to present them before God, right? And here is a picture of that the shofar being blown. That is a trumpet to each and every one of us this morning. Open your ears and listen. To those who have ears to hear, let them hear this morning. God is calling each one of us to stop, to pause, to reflect upon what it is, and let the Holy Spirit now start to show us, right? So that's stage one. We have to be in that place of being able to hear God's call. Let us not walk as we've always walked, right? But let us come into our prayer closets. Let us come before the Lord and say, Lord, start to show me. Start to open my heart. Start to open my eyes. Open my mind, Lord, so I can understand what it is that your desire is and what it is that you desire to work on and work out in me, right? And I love this, right? In 1 Kings, right? It says, then all the guests of Adonijah were terrified, and they arose and each went on his way. And Adonijah was afraid of Solomon, and he arose, went and took hold of the horns of the altar. Now it was told Solomon, saying, behold, Adonijah is afraid of King Solomon, for behold, he has taken hold of the horns of the altar, saying, let King Solomon swear to me today that he will not put his servant to death with the sword. Solomon said, if he is a worthy man, not one of his hairs will fall to the ground, but if wickedness is found in him, he will die. So King Solomon sent, and they brought him down from the altar, and he came and prostrated himself before the king, before King Solomon, and Solomon said to him, go to your house, right? So here is a picture of that altar. And that is God's desire for each one of us this morning, that even as we submit ourselves to Him, even as we start to allow the Holy Spirit to show us the areas in our hearts that still need to be worked on, that still need to be exposed, that still need to be brought before God, that we would also have this, not to harden our hearts all the more, or not to hide them all the more, but that we would have this same heart and fall upon the grace of God, upon the mercy of God, and cling to those horns that are on that altar and say, Lord, have mercy on me. I realize that I have sinned against you. I realize that my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Lord, I desire after my ways to be your ways, my thoughts to be your thoughts. And cling to that altar and allow God now to start to show us, start to encourage us to go to those places, to work on those areas with God, to allow God access to our heart, to allow God access to the place in our heart that we have hid from him for all this time, right? But it's only by coming before God's grace, not by coming to realize, all right, Lord, let me and you work on this. No, it's like, Lord, I'm coming before you, realizing that I have sinned. Lord, I'm coming before you realizing, because of the work that the Holy Spirit is doing in my life, because of everything that you're showing me, that I need your grace. I need your mercy. I need you to show me. I need you to deliver me from this. Because it's one thing for us to give up on something we're doing, or to try and stay away from something that's a weakness in us. But there's another thing to be delivered from it. And the Holy Spirit is the one who delivers us from these things. So even when we are delivered, we will be able to sit in the midst of sinners, right? And still not desire after that, because we've been delivered by that. We will be able to sit in the midst of those who are doing that which was weakness to us before, and now we'll be able to actually sit there and not be hindered by it. We'll also be able to stand against the enemy, because the enemy uses those very same things to point his finger in your face and say, what kind of a Christian are you, that you're not able to stand against this? And he continually causes us to fall and stumble because he knows that we can't stand against these things. But when you can stand to and say to the enemy, I no longer need those things. I have been delivered. I have been delivered by the Holy Spirit. I have been set free. I no longer need to walk in those things. You no longer have access in my life. God has given us that authority. We need to lay hold of that authority. We need to seize that authority, not by force, but by coming before the throne of grace and saying, Lord, show me how to do this. Show me how to do this. I need your deliverance. I need you to show me how to walk free of these things. And as we get to that second phase, then we'll be able to progress, even as we go through that, right? As we're in that place now of working this through the Lord, realizing the Holy Spirit is working on those issues with us, then we'll be able to step through to the next phase, if you will. And this is the rebranding, I guess, if you will, of progressive Christianity, right? We progress from being those who are weak or not sure of where we are, to progress all the way to being the shofar of God in every situation we face. And the shofar of God is that which announces God's victory, God's presence in our place. So wherever we go, before we walk in, that shofar, not in the physical, but in the spiritual, that shofar will be blown. And the enemies of God will have to take notice. The enemies of God will have to realize that God has entered into this place. And once God enters in, that atmosphere has to change. Yes. There is nothing that can stand against the power of the Holy Spirit. We all know that to be true. We don't always exercise that authority in every situation we're in. But we can only do that when we're subject to God. When we realize that God is working on our lives. When God is delivering us from the areas that we are weak in. And the enemy no longer has his clutches in us. That we can now walk in that assurance, in that victory. Okay, and this also, I love this. This is the cup that was associated with that altar. The cup of drinking is all it's called. But as they were making those offerings, they would drink of that cup. And I love that, because as that offering is being made, right, the drink is almost like, for us, the symbol it symbolizes the refreshing, right? That as we're drinking of that, God is pouring into us. He's pouring into us. And not just pouring into us, but pouring overflowing. And as we now start to get to that place of liberty and freedom and deliverance, that now we can overflow into the lives of others. That we can now impact the lives of others, even in those areas that we thought we were weak in. Because now the Holy Spirit has given us deliverance. He has given us the strength we need. He has given us the confidence we need to be able to speak boldly, even in the face of the enemy. Amen. Praise God. And now here in Samuel, right? The next phase says, and Samuel said to Jesse, are these all the children? And he said, there remains yet the youngest, and behold, he is tending the sheep. Then Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here. So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, with beautiful eyes and a handsome appearance. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. And Samuel arose and went to Ramah. Now we know the story, We know what happened with David. We know it's in the actual scriptures that David is a man after God's own heart. And even though David was flawed, David every single time went back to God and admitted his weakness before God. And that's where he drew his strength from. That's where David became a man after God's own heart. Because he knew that it was only in God his strength lied, right? And that's the same thing for us. And even as he was being anointed king, that's what we need to be. As we come to that place of starting to understand our place before God, as we start to come and come for that grace, that throne of grace, right? And God is working out these areas in our lives. As we start to become delivered, now he will anoint us. He will anoint us with the anointing oil. And he will anoint us for the purposes that he has saved us unto, right? He has a plan for each and every one of our lives. And his anointing needs to be upon us. I cannot do it on my own strength. You cannot do it on your own strength. We need the anointing of God to do the will of God, right? And the awesome thing is, as we start to realize the anointing of God, he pours that over us. It's not just a sprinkle of oil. He pours the anointing over us. So as we walk, the anointing actually is left in our footprints behind us. So those who come after us can actually walk in those same footprints, right? God is an all-encompassing God. And we need to come to a place where we understand God's grace, God's mercy, God's deliverance, God's anointing. That as we start to realize that, we will have the boldness. And as we walk into it, wherever it is that we go, because that's what this is all about. Walk. The ultimate goal is that wherever it is you walk into, that you walk in with the boldness and confidence, knowing the shofar has been blown. Not because you showed up, because the Holy Spirit showed up. And the Holy Spirit is coming into that place to deliver souls. It's God's desire that none would perish. So his desire is that as we walk into that place, that we would walk in with that confidence. We would walk in with the attitude even that the Holy Spirit has come to that place for a reason. And that he desires to use us in that place. If we don't have that focus, if we don't have that attention to detail, we leave the Holy Spirit in the car. And we'll walk in without that anointing, without that determination, without that. And now we will not be impacting. Because I can speak all the words and all the glamorous words I want. But unless the Holy Spirit anoints those words, unless the anointing of God is upon them, they will fall dead. It says that God's word goes forth and does not come back void. It doesn't say anything about my words. My words will go out and yet they'll come back void every time, right? But God's word does not go out and come back void, because his anointing is upon his word. And that's what we need to have the confidence in, knowing that God's anointing is not just for the pastor, not just for the deacons, not just for, it is, God's anointing is for every single one of his priests. And we are all priests of God in the priesthood of Melchizedek. Once you have become saved by the blood of Jesus, you've been grafted in, right? So you are of that royal priesthood. You are the anointed of God. You are the appointed of God. And God's desire is that you would know that. That you would live a life that is abundantly flowing in that anointing and working in that anointing. Amen. So praise God. And here, as we see this, right? In Psalms 133:2, it says, it's like the precious oil upon the head, coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, coming down upon the edge of his robes. I love this picture, this symbolism, this picture from scriptures, right? It shows you here where Moses is anointing Aaron, right? And that oil is just flowing over Aaron. It's going down through his beard. It's actually going down through his robes, all the way down to his feet. That is the anointing God wants to put on each and every one of us this morning. And it begins by saying, Lord, show me where I have left things unaddressed in my life. Show me those areas of my heart that I have not submitted before you. And then fall on the throne of grace. Grab hold of those horns on the throne of grace as if your life depended on it. And ask God, Lord, show me, deliver me from these things so that I may walk in your anointing. And even as you walk in that anointing, right, then from there, there's still that place where we have to walk in the actual power of the actual anointing, right? Where even with the anointing being upon us, we can still not be effective in the kingdom of God because we're not acting out of boldness. We're not acting out of a full awareness of the power that it goes behind us, right? And the only way to do that is to know for sure that as we walk, as we enter into a place that the shofar, right, that shofar is blown before us, that as we go in, that we know that the power, the presence of God is entering into that place, and it will impact lives, it will impact hearts, it will impact minds, just as it has impacted ours. I mean, there is nothing better. There is nothing more satisfying, I guess you could say, than actually being in that place and coming before the Lord, realizing your sin before Him, realizing the grace and the mercy is upon you, realizing God's liberation and deliverance from that. That is an infectious joy that comes upon us. And as we have that infectious joy, then we will desire to go out and share that with others. We will desire to actually be professing God's glory. We'll be desiring to be professing the relationship that we have with God. And as we do that, now people will actually start to not even just ask, but they start to be impacted by it. If you go into your workplace and all of a sudden the stress is on everybody else around you and you're walking around calmly, you're walking around with a smile on your face, people are going to ask, how are you so calm? What are you on? You know what I'm saying? And we will be able to say, I'm on Jesus. Do you want some? I'll give you some Jesus. And that's the best thing you can give anybody. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the world is after all types of drugs that are out there to try to alleviate their situation, to try to alleviate the pressures. The Holy Spirit wants us to realize that Jesus is the answer to every situation, every single situation. Once that anointing is upon us, once we're in that place where we're at the throne of God, the mercy seat of God, and we're actually starting to experience that, then no matter where we are, we will be able to, you know, it would be awesome, right, for each one of us, if as we walk into shop, right, we started to hear the shofar being blown, you know, not in the physical. I'm not talking about you going into your job, buying a shofar, start going in, blowing the shofar before you enter in, and say, "All right, the Lord is here." You know, I'm not advocating for that. You might be able to try it, but I'm not advocating that. But what I'm saying is, in the spiritual, that we have the confidence to know that as you walk in, the shofar has been blown. The shofar has been blown, and the enemies of God have now. Their attention has been riled, right? They have to give attention because they know that God is coming. They know the Holy Spirit is entering into that place. And when the Holy Spirit enters, they have to flee. This is not a matter of who's stronger, who's not. There is no question as to who's stronger. There's no question as to who wins the battle. God is victorious every single time. And we just have to have that confidence. But the only way to have that confidence, you can't just drum it up. You can't work it up in yourself. You have to know God. You have to be in the presence of God. You have to have that place where we're actually sitting before God and receiving of Him, right? Receiving of the anointing. Receiving, hearing even the shofar in our prayer closet, right? Knowing that God is with us. That God goes before us. And that as He goes before us, and even as He's anointing us, that there is a trail behind us that we are leaving for those who are coming behind us. These are all the blessings of God. These are all the things that come with that anointing of God, with that knowledge, with that relationship of God, right? And again, I love this, because this is what solidifies it here, right? Where it says here in Joshua, right? We know this is all about the actual walls of Jericho, right? It says also, 7 priests shall carry 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. Then on the 7th day, you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priest shall blow the trumpets. It shall be that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and you hear the sound of the trumpets, all the people will shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people will go up, every man straight ahead, right? And we see this is the walls crumbling, right? We know that the city of Jericho, even now, to just find its ruins is almost impossible, right? The archaeological digs are finding bits and pieces. God did not give us this symbolism. He did not give us this historical event to actually just show a city that was where the walls came down. He wanted to show us that in each one of our areas, in each one of our hearts, that's Jericho. Each one of us has a Jericho in our hearts. Each one of us has a Jericho in our lives that God wants to deal with. He wants for us to have the walls come crumbling down. We have built walls around so we protect even ourselves from them, because we don't want to look at those things. We don't want to address those things. We don't want to be concerned with those things. But God wants us to address those things. He wants us to look at them. He wants us to approach them as they did the walls of Jericho, and then allow those walls to fall down. But I love this. In 4 it says, also 7 priests shall carry seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. Then on the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priest shall blow the trumpets. Seven in scripture is again symbolic. It is the picture of perfection, right? So here we have seven priests, right? The picture of the perfect priesthood. We are the perfect priesthood. You may not be perfect, I am not perfect, right? But Jesus Christ is perfect. And we've been grafted into his priesthood, right? Because of his blood, because of his blood sacrifice, we have been grafted in. So we are the perfect priesthood, carrying seven trumpets of ram's horns. We can blow that shofar, that perfect sound of God, right? And then on the seventh day, right? I love this, because on the seventh day is the day of rest. So as we do things in perfection, as we do according to God's way, as we submit our lives to God, as we fall that before that throne of grace, as we allow God to actually now pierce our hearts, as we allow God to anoint us in the oil, right, that runs down through our beards even, onto our, as the women, not beards, but as it runs down through our face, onto our feet, right, as we walk in that anointing, right, that we do not have to labor. That God is showing us here that it is by his work, right? It is by his perfect work that we can now enter into his rest. He says labor to enter into our rest. But that labor is not working. That labor is sitting before God. That is the labor that we have to do. The labor we have to do is examine our hearts before God, show ourselves before God as humble before God, and allow God to do that work. So on that seventh day, that day of rest, right? And when we're continuing to walk, And as we walk around those walls that we've built up, that those walls will come crumbling down by the will, by the power, by the presence of God. And that is not our work. That is the work of God, right? And we can trust in that. I can try all I want, right, to do whatever it is that I set my mind to. But I guarantee you, I will not be as successful as if I sat before God and said, Lord, I need you to deliver me from this. I can try, but I will still always desire after that thing. But when I am delivered from it, I have no desire for it anymore, because the Holy Spirit has delivered it from me. You know what I'm saying? You know, there's so many things in my life that I can testify to that too, but that I know for a fact that I had a desire after. And I sat before God. I sat before God, and God delivered me from them. And I can sit now in the midst of people doing the exact same thing, and I have no desire for them. I am free from them. There's an awesome joy that comes out of that. That if you know that you're free, that the enemy cannot come and try and accuse you, cannot come and point his finger in your face and try and trip you up, because you have been delivered, you have been set free. And God's desire is that we would live not just lives, but we would live lives abundantly, right? And that is the abundant life he's talking about, the life in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And as we live that type of life, we will want for nothing, because God will actually add all these things. He says, seek you first the kingdom of heaven, and everything else will be added to you. We do not need to work. We do not need to labor in these things. We need to labor in coming to know God, coming to sit before God, coming before his throne of grace, receiving that anointing in every area of our lives. And then God will start to add these things to us. And we will be operating out of that place of perfect joy. And that will be infectious. That will be infectious to anyone who is around you. And they will come and now ask. And the scripture says, you know, when Peter says, I have to paraphrase here. I don't remember it exactly how it said. But when Peter says, you know, when people ask, right, to tell them, but do it in gentleness and in love, right? And that's the effect that kind of a walk will have before us. That as we walk in that, as we desire after God's own heart, as we desire after God's anointing and being upon us, that we will walk in that. We will walk in the assurance that the Holy Spirit has. And as we walk into a place, that shofar will just be blown in the spiritual. And we will know that God's enemies have now fled. Right? They've flown from before us. And that there is going to be an impact in that place. And that's an exciting place to be, because wherever it is that you go then, you know that you can have an impact in that place. Not because of who you are, but because of who God is. And he has gone before us. And he will actually clear the area before us, because he will, that shofar will be blown. And now we will have the liberty to be entering into a place that's already saturated in the presence, in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. So as we go on here, so it says, the last trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed, right? In 1 Corinthians. But I want to kind of finish, close up with this in a couple of minutes. But it says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I just want to go back here to where it says, therefore I urge you, brethren. This is not a call from me. This is a call from the Lord going out to each and every one of us this morning. This is that trumpet being sounded to each and every one of us this morning to take heed, pay heed, and see where it is that God is piercing your heart, where it is that God is showing and uncovering things in our lives that he desires to deal with, right? And then let's come before him and lay ourselves on that mercy seat and say, Lord, let your grace, let your mercy deliver me from each one of these situations. And as that happens, then we will start to learn to bask in his grace, to walk in his grace, to walk in that, and we'll be ready for the anointing. The anointing that God has for us. Now, you might already be walking in power in many areas of your life. You may already be walking in anointing in many areas of your life. But my challenge, God's challenge to you this morning through this message is, are you walking in that power in every area of your life? God doesn't just want part of you. He wants all of you. His desire is that he would have every area of our heart, every area of our life. And in this call this morning, he's saying, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. Accept to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. So let's worship the Lord with our bodies. Let's desire after God to actually enter in and allow that noise, that shofar, to go before us. And I just want to... And then, do not be conformed to this world, right? Do not allow this world to be that which is enticing you to after its ways, or after its objects, or after its grandeurs, right? Let us focus on the kingdom of God, and let's allow that to be that which drives us, which we desire after, because whatever is on this world is fading away. But there is an eternal home, live dwelling place for us. That is a new heaven and a new earth. So let us be heavenly minded. Let us look towards what the home that God has for us for eternity. And as we look towards that, we will start to, the things of this world will start to wane away. We will no longer be desiring after them. We will be desiring to see the kingdom of God, not just in our hearts, not just in our homes, not just in our churches, but everywhere we go. And I want you to hear this and picture this as the sound that's going to go before you. As we progress through our Christianity before God, as we progress, and the rebranding of this progressive Christianity, right? As we progress in our walk with God, this will be the sound. And I love this. Think of this. This is the sound that goes before you as you walk into ShopRite. This will be the sound that goes before you as you walk into your job. This will be the sound that goes before you as you walk into your unsaved loved ones. This will be the sound. And the enemies of God will be clear. They will be put to flight. And you will have an area now where you can do ministry before God. Because God's enemies have to flee before the shofar of God. Because it is announcing his presence. It is announcing God before them. And that will end up giving you an area to work in. An area to be effective on the hearts and minds of your loved ones, of those who you work with, those in your home. Wherever it is you go, just picture this. In the spiritual realm, picture this. And this is what the enemy hears every time you walk into a place. And now walk in that confidence. Seek after the anointing of God and walk in that confidence and know that God is for you. He has a plan for you. And he is introducing you as you go. Not because of who you are, because who you are in him. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Christ is my firm foundation. He's the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaking, oh, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. Oh, he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations.
hallelujah, hallelujah. So as you go today, I just want to encourage you, I just want to urge you to sit before God. Allow Him to uncover those areas that we have covered up. Fall upon that throne of grace. Allow that throne of grace to actually encourage you to walk in the anointing of God. Sit before God. Let that anointing oil flow over you, so it saturates you. So even as you walk, that anointing oil, there'll be a trail of it left after you. And then as we walk, hear that shofar. Hear the actual trumpet blast of God announcing His presence in whatever situation you're entering into. And operate out of that confidence, knowing that God has prepared a place. He has prepared a way. He has prepared an audience for you, so that their hearts, their minds, the atmosphere will be impacted, and that their hearts will be turned to God. His desire that none would perish. His desire that none would perish. His desire is that as we as His ambassadors would walk in that authority, walk in that knowledge, walk in that affirmation, knowing that the trumpet blast goes forth and that announces God's presence in that place, and that we can walk in that. Hallelujah. If you just bow your head with me in prayer. Father God, we just thank You this morning, Lord. We thank You, O Father God, that You, O Father God, has shown us Your grace and Your mercy today, O Father God. Lord God, that You have shown us that Your desire is that we would walk in Your anointing, that we would walk afresh and anew with that anointing, O Father God. Lord God, I just ask, Lord, that as we walk, that You would bring to light, Lord, those areas that we have neglected even in our own lives, O Father God, and that You would, O Father God, deal with each and every one of those situations in our hearts, O Father God, that we would walk free, that we would walk liberated, O Father God. We would walk in the authority that You have given us through Jesus Christ, O Father God. And Lord God, that even as we go, that we will hear You shofar, that we will hear Your shofar blowing, O Father God, in the spiritual. Lord, that we will hear Your shofar blowing in the supernatural, dispelling Your enemy from that place, O Father God, and setting up a ground that is holy, a ground that is ripe for the work of God to take part in that place and deliver hearts and minds to come and bow their hearts and their minds and their lives before Jesus. We thank You, Lord. We ask even as we go, Lord, that You would just continue to minister to us, O Father God. And we give You all the praise, all the honor, all the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. God preached that it makes no sense. So now it won't be good.